Goodness, she said. That was something. You're something. With you, I am, apparently. She looked across the room of the cottage to heavy curtains which blocked out the daylight. That sliver of light, she said. It's totally white. You can't see the trees or grass or anything. It must be late. The African noon, he said. It's blinding. Too bright to go out in. You better stay right here, she said. I don't even know where I am. The night had ended late. It had started way back there at the engagement party she had gone to with Bragg. Bragg was the ex-fiancé of a friend of hers in London and the bureau chief of the Guardian in Nairobi who'd taken her under his wing when she'd arrived in Kenya a couple of weeks ago. He seemed to know everyone at the Muthaiga Club in the crowd, which spread out to a lantern-lit interior garden. At one point, he called to a tall man who walked toward them, looking at her. This was one of his boys, Bragg said. Fresh in from Mogadishu tonight. And Bragg had winked, leaving her to chat with the man. Then it was Bragg who had corralled them both afterward to go to dinner at the restaurant in Langata. The restaurant was called The Carnivore, and waiters sliced long strips of meat from spits sticking up on carts which were wheeled from table to table so you could choose zebra, antelope, buffalo, ostrich. The side walls of the restaurant were low, with a space open to the black night. A thatched roof towered above. She and the man sat beside each other at the long table, but chatted with everyone else, shouting above the noise. At the end of the meal, the man turned to her, smiling with a presumptuous look. Connected to the eating area by a concrete ramp was a throbbing dance floor with another bar and tables and chairs. After dinner, the group flowed down the ramp and disappeared into the jumbling crowd and danced and drank more beer. They danced till the crowd began to thin out. In an unlit parking lot, Bragg was sorting out rides. Some people were going back to somebody's house, and there was the usual indecision and stumbling and pulling of sleeves and keys stabbing blindly at ignitions. She told the man she really did need to call it a night, even though, which she didn't tell him, she wasn't working the next day. And all he said was he had a car. Coming out of the restaurant's driveway to the main road, the red taillights of the other cars turned to the left, floating one after another in the darkness. He and she, in a partly open Jeep, turned to the right. They passed no other cars on the road, so the only light was the dim topaz bar cast by the headlights of his rattletrap Jeep. Sometimes the road was paved, with enormous black craters bitten out of it. Then it would revert to rust-colored dirt, polished hard with deep rut, like a road beside a farmer's field. As the Jeep rounded a bend, it lurched off the road. She thought he had lost control. Then he applied the brake and she saw they were in a pullover. She looked at the man, whose face was solemn, staring ahead. "What is it?" she said. He said he needed to kiss her. He said it, still looking through where the windshield was detached from the hood to the darkness beyond the headlights. The direct statement stunned her and made her laugh. A direct statement often had that effect. She sat there, powerless. It was a welcome feeling. She felt the outline of herself begin to dissolve. When they eventually pulled back onto the road, the Jeep made a sharp U-turn and headed back toward his place. She rode in the passenger seat on the left side, not the right. Many things here in Kenya were like that, opposite or unexpected. This was the sort of moment she waited for, to be whisked away in the dark.